Gospel of Luke in chapter 1. I'm first going to be reading from verses 26 to 38. And then later on, about midway in the sermon, I'm going to read the other part of this scripture, which is Mary's song, which is 47 to 55. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, starting of verse 26 to 38. This is the birth of Jesus foretold. Luke writes to us, he says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. So how will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered, he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for how you provide for us. We do thank you for just having the opportunity to come here and to be in your house, to be part of your family, be free to worship together. Father, we do pray that you would be with us and bless us this fourth Sunday in the Advent season. As we prepare and as we continue to celebrate the birth of your Son, in all things we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So during this fourth Sunday of Advent, so we lit the candle of love, and I really got to thinking about this a little bit, and I thought, what are we going to talk about this Sunday? And so during the week, Bonnie asked me if I'd give her a hand doing a little present wrapping, you know, all this Christmas wrapping paper business. And it's not one of my favorite tasks, and it's not one of Bonnie's either. But I agreed to. I said, okay, let the fun begin. So she's got all her gifts upstairs, so we get up there, and we get out these great big, she's got these great big rolls of gift wrapping paper, you know. You know what I'm talking about. What are them buggers? About this tall? What are they, 3 foot or something like? We're working on a 2 foot table. We got to wrap a present this big. You know? So you get this paper out, and okay, so how do I cut it? You get the scissors, you know, you start, it's cutting real good, and all of a sudden, now we just ruined this whole sheet that we cut off for a little package this big. And I'm thinking, this is fun. Or we get the tape out, we'll get 2 or 3 strips out, maybe you get them on your wrist. Next thing you go to stick it on, and it's upside down, it's on your tongue, you can't get it off, so you try to get the next one. Next thing you know, you got a mess, and frustration really sets in. It won't cut right. You know, so I'm looking at her, and I said, can't we just stop, leave the stuff in the bag and tape the bag closed and write their name on it? Well, I go, no, we can't do that. I didn't know what it is or where it came from. I said, really? Well, maybe we could just put them in a plain bound bag. Write their name on the side. No. So, guess we don't do that. But, you know, when I was a boy, though, I remember some stuff that came in plain brown bags. It was really special. Now, a lot of you knew my family. We had lots of boys in my family. But once a week, so mom or dad would come home and they'd have a brown grocery bag in their arm. So we'd instantly know that they'd been somewhere shopping. And chances are, if mom on a weekly basis, she'd come home with her arm in her arm and she'd just been to the grocery store. And it usually said Acme or Giant on the side, depending on which one she went to. And, of course, the instructions would come, you know, get your butts out here and let's get this unloaded and taken care of. And so, seeing as there was usually five or six of us at the house, we all, not too willingly, it'd be kind of like wrapping gifts, we'd run out to unload and carry everything in. Wasn't no real enthusiasm going on here, might I say. Unless there were occasions. Now, if Dad came home from work, and we're usually around the holidays, around Christmas time, maybe Easter time, he'd come home, and he'd have this brown paper bag in his arm. And we'd look at it, and we'd think, if it was the right holiday, everybody'd be kind of willing to run out and get one of them brown paper bags out of his car. You see, now, about once a month, he'd go to the day-old bread store. I don't know how many of you remember they had one of those in Binghamton. Well, seeing as there was five hungry boys you had fixed lunches for every day for school. And we usually had a couple of foster boys, and usually neighbor kids were staying over or something, so there'd be quite a gang. He'd probably buy 50 loaves every month, and we'd have to unload them. But in that store, when they'd wrap them up, they'd always come in a brown paper bag, and they'd stuff the loaves in. Well, and during the holiday seasons, every once in a while, my dad would stop at my Uncle Merle's bakery. Now, Uncle Merle, he always put his creations, his treats, always in a brown paper bag. And he put my dad's name on the side of it, right on there, Pete. My dad, being the cunning man he was, he would always stuff it in the middle of the trunk somewhere. And he'd stop by there on his way home. And so he'd stuff it in whatever vehicle he was driving. So he said, okay, so the first one that comes in that brings in Uncle Merle's bag, the one that's got my name on it, you could first pick out of the bag. And it'd be full of pastries or fresh baked donuts. It'd be day-old stuff is what Uncle Merle would always call it. But we know he always baked a little extra. So there was some real enthusiasm to help unload that day. And I often thought about that, and every time I think about what love really looks like, with my Uncle Burl, he loved us boys, and he knew we didn't get much, but he wanted to make sure we always had something special, especially at the holidays. And his love came just like God's, wrapped in a brown paper bag. You have to excuse me for a minute. Brings back too many memories of what love really looks like. Every time I think about the Christmas story, I think about how God chose to use love through very plain people. He wrapped his love up in a brown paper bag. We look at some of that when we look at Mary. Just think about Mary for a minute. Now, Mary, she wasn't no beauty queen. We're not told anything like that about her. She was quite ordinary. She was young. God's going to put her in a bad position, but she wasn't really anybody special, now was she? Except she had faith. And God chose her. This brown paper bag of Mary to deliver, to bring his son, to bring salvation to earth. It tells us what God can do with us, with plain, ordinary people, doesn't it? So when I looked at that, and I got to thinking, now we really need to read that second piece of scripture here, because how'd Mary feel about it? And Luke, he recorded Mary's song. So in Luke 1, 46 to 55, we read,
And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy has extended to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts, and he has brought down rulers from their thrones. But he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he has said to our fathers." You know, I read this and I read Mary's songs, and I think, boy, you know, she must have had first pick out on Merle's pastries. You know, he always had them glaze-covered donuts and stuff, and I love them to this day, and I never tasted any that were ever so good. And I'm certain he didn't do anything super ordinary about it, other than make sure that we had them because of the love that was in them, that he baked into. We do get distracted sometimes. I think how many times we got distracted. I got distracted when we were wrapping gifts. You know, you get distracted because everything is a struggle some days. You think about the struggles you have. I know we were doing some of this. You ever notice that there is some shrink wrap you can't get loose? You know, they got some glue on a package as you're trying to get it apart. You couldn't tear that apart. You couldn't blast it apart with dynamite. You know, there's no chemicals to take some of that stuff off. And I thought about that, and I thought about all the packages we get and how they get wrapped. Then what happens on Christmas morning? I don't know if it ever happened in your house, but in my house, we ended up with presents left under the tree, and they weren't in any specific kind of wrapping paper. Or maybe they were in a brown bag, or a present came up missing because it wasn't wrapped special enough. Or somebody forgot to open it. And there's too often times that we have the same problem. We end up not opening all the gifts, even though it has our name on it, or maybe because it wasn't noticed, because it wasn't wrapped in brightly colored paper. When I thought about this, and I got thinking about Mary and what she looked like, I thought about Joseph. What did he look like? Was he anything special? Doesn't tell us he was handsome. He wasn't good looking as me, probably. No, he was just a simple carpenter. Worked with his hands. You know, he worked with wood and copper and iron, whatever the carpenters were, but he was a respected man in his community. But other than that, I don't think there was anything ordinary about Joseph. Other than he was chosen by God. He chose somebody simple, somebody that knew how to work with his hands. Someone who had faith that he could count on. Or maybe we should think about Bethlehem. Actually, that city of Bethlehem, that town was no great town in its time. It was about a half a day's journey from Jerusalem, which outshone them. The temple had been finished in Jerusalem, and so nobody really went to Bethlehem. It was kind of just a place, you know. It's kind of like going to the rest area. And that was it. It wasn't special. But yet God told him previously in the scriptures in Micah, he told him that Bethlehem was going to be a special place. Because God chose this plain little city, this no-name, insecure city, that this is where his son was going to be born. And I think about the stable. Wouldn't you have thought God could have chose something a little better than that? Can you imagine being born in the barn? You know, your mother gave birth in there. Next thing you know, you're laying in the trough for crying out loud. Wouldn't you have thought God would have chose something just a little bit nicer than that? How plain and simple can you be? But I thought about how we never understand how we learn to communicate. How do we know what God truly has for us if we don't look at the simple things in life, the easy things in life? We don't learn how to unwrap the gift. We don't learn how to unwrap the gift of life. When I thought about that, I found a story about some shepherds that had got together. They were having a problem because their lambs were dying out in the field from the cold. Because the mamas, the ewes, they'd take out their lambs, they'd take them out graze for the day, and next thing you know, it'd get real cold. The temperature would drop, and the ewes wouldn't have enough sense to bring their lambs home. And they'd end up freezing to death. I got related to that probably because of the storm that's going on here today and how cold it got all of a sudden. But I got thinking about it. They thought about it. They thought, okay, we got to find a solution to this. And they did find that solution. So what they did is they took a pair of shears and they decided that they would take the wool off the top of the ewes' heads so they'd know when it got cold and they'd know enough to gather their lambs and bring them back in. And by golly, it worked. It was just a simple fix. It was just simply letting them know when it was cold out and it was time to come in. Isn't that what God did for us really today? In this season we have called Christmas? Isn't it a time when maybe God's just shearing a little off the top of our heads and say, you know what? It's cold outside. It's time to let in some warmth. It's time to come home. Maybe it's the time to come back into our church to celebrate, to feel the love that he has given for us. We look at the baby in the manger, he put in the manger. We stick it under a tree. And you know that same gift's been there for over 2,000 years. That same gift of life, he wrapped in a plain brown bag in a baby and he placed it under the Christmas tree. It's been there and it's always going to be there. We just have to be willing to look at it and say, it's got my name on it. And I'm going to take it with me. And I'm going to open it up. Because that same brown bag, it's been signed by God. It says, I love you. Christmas is all about love and the love that God has given to each and every one of us. And yeah, he didn't use fancy wrapping paper. And no, lots of times when we see his actions, his will, his gift of love to us, it doesn't look anything like we imagined. Most of the time it comes in a plain brown bag, like my Uncle Merle gave us, and it's full of love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for how you provide for us and how you continue to offer to us that gift of love, that gift of salvation that you sent in so many simple ways. Help us to see that. Help us to be that gift of love to each and every one around us. Guide us